Our scripture for this morning is from Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then he called a little child over to sit among the disciples and said, "I assure you that if you don't turn your lives around and become like this little child, you will definitely not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who humble themselves like this little child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Once again, this morning, we've included some teaching notes in the bulletin, and I would invite you to take those out and to follow along as we go through this message together. And I want to take a moment before we dig into this scripture to just watch this brief video. Greatness. In the world, there are many different pictures of what greatness looks like. Some think greatness is having lots of money. Some think greatness is being talented and having great recognition as a result of that. Some think of greatness as being famous. And some think of it as having extraordinary beauty. And some think of greatness as being good or righteous. But here in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives us a very different picture of what greatness looks like. In verse 1, we read, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?'" The disciples want to know, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Is it the most faithful disciple? Is it the one who wins the most converts? Is it the one who suffers the most for their faith? Is it the one with the best track record for healing? Or maybe the one who does the best job at feeding the hungry crowds? Who is the greatest? Now, it's obvious as we listen in on their question that the disciples are measuring greatness in much the same way that the world does. In the world, some people are valued more than others. Surely one of them, they think, would be the favorite and get special recognition. But it's kind of strange that they would even ask this question. I mean, if you follow Jesus through the Gospel of Matthew up until this point, you see that Jesus has been telling them again and again what the world looks like that he's ushering in. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus pronounces blessings on the hopeless, the mourners, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the persecuted. He's blessing all those that the society completely disregards, and he says that they are the leading citizens in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has already spent long hours, days and nights, weeks and months healing people that the rest of the world has pushed aside. Jesus has sent his disciples out not as conquerors, but as humble teachers, and has told them, take nothing with you except the gospel, which they discovered was more than enough. In every possible way, Jesus has spent the first 17 chapters of the Gospel of Matthew explaining to his followers that God's kingdom doesn't look anything like the earthly power structures, and God doesn't look anything like earthly rulers. And now the disciples are asking, who is the greatest? And once again, Jesus turns things upside down. And as it says in number 2 in your notes, to enter the kingdom of heaven requires a conversion, a different way of being in the world. Verse 2, then he called a little child over to sit among the disciples and said, I assure you that if you don't turn your lives around and become like this little child, you will definitely not enter the kingdom of heaven. Interesting, isn't it, that instead of producing the strongest or the smartest or the most stunningly mature person, Jesus calls a child and puts her in their midst? Here is the greatest, he says. Be like this. Be like this child. So what does he mean by this? Well, certainly children have some very wonderful qualities. Qualities that you and I could imitate. You know, today is Grandparents' Day. Let's hear it for the grandparents. Woohoo! Now, contrary to popular opinion, this day was not started by a grandfather somewhere that just wanted another opportunity to get gifts. Although after worship today, our children will be giving out some gifts to all the grandparents at the doors. But Grandparents' Day was designated as an official holiday by President Jimmy Carter in 1978 as a way for us to celebrate the important role that older adults play in the lives of kids. And so in honor of Grandparents' Day, I brought along two of my favorite t-shirts from our granddaughters, of course, Chloe and Lila. And did I tell you that we have another one on the way in January? I guess I did. So the first one says, my favorite people call me Papap. I love that. And then there's this one, which is just so appropriate. Don't I look too young to be a grandfather? Yes, of course I do. As for Pastor John, well, anyway. You know, spending time with our grandchildren takes me back to memories of our two daughters when they were little. And it also takes me back to memories of my own childhood long, long ago. And when I'm with them, I remember those times when, as a child, I was willing to immerse myself just in play, running from the swings to the sliding board to the jungle gym without wondering what time it was or where I had to be an hour from now. And I remember the excitement, the thrill of being at the ocean, and how my parents had to drag me out at the point my lips were blue and my fingers were like prunes, or granny fingers, as they're called. And I remember times when time just stood still because I was just lost in the wonder of everything. There is nothing like childhood, nothing at all. And there are so many things that are wonderful about little children. But when Jesus says here, become like this little child, I don't think he's calling us to imitate the characteristics of a child. Kicking and screaming because your sister took the crayon you wanted to color with is not the kind of behavior that Jesus imagines for his disciples. When he says, become like this child, Jesus is picturing a new kind of community where everyone, even the smallest and the least, is valued. The church is called to be that kind of community, and we become that kind of community when we follow Jesus' instruction to become like a child. First of all, Jesus calls us to turn from self-importance and to embrace humility. Verse 4. Those who humble themselves like this little child will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, as a society, we pay wonderful lip service that our children are the most important things in the world. And judging from advertising aimed at parents, it is clear that children's wants and needs have become the basis of an economy. We spend billions every year on our children. We have a law called No Child Left Behind, whose purpose is to make sure that all the nation's children are educated. But as you and I both know, our behavior too often overlooks the needs of children. Many children in the United States still do not have adequate health care. Almost 1 in 5 of them live below the poverty line. Not all children have the same opportunities for education. It depends on where they live. And even now, there are some 300 immigrant children, children that were taken from their parents at our southern border this past summer, 300 of them still separated from their parents. Our behavior doesn't match the lip service we pay about children. Now, for all of these troubling statistics, children today are still a lot better off than children were in Jesus' day. Even in first century Judaism, children were often regarded as inferior. They had no status or rights. They were treated more like property than people. And Jesus lived in a world in which a very few at the top had tremendous wealth and power, and the vast majority of people lived in crushing poverty. And children were at the bottom. Nobody ever held up a child as a model for anything. Nobody. Except Jesus. Jesus says that in the heavenly kingdom, even the smallest, most insignificant are precious. And it doesn't matter how small you are in the eyes of the world or how great, you are important to God. Jesus loves the little children, we sing, all the children of the world. And if Jesus loves them, then we are called to be the kind of community that loves them, great and small, as well. Every person, no matter what, is precious in God's sight. A little later on in Matthew 23, Jesus says this, all who lift themselves up will be brought low, but all who make themselves low will be lifted up. It's something like this that the British theologian C.S. Lewis once wrote in Definition of Humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, It's thinking of yourself less. To make myself low, to be humble, is not to think less of myself, as in put myself down, but it's to think of myself less so that I might see those around me as the precious gift from God that they are. Secondly, to become like this little child, Jesus says, we need to turn from self-reliance and embrace trust. Now, being Papap, I have rediscovered how dependent the little ones are. Spending a day with an infant or a toddler is exhausting. You have to do everything for them, and often not under easy circumstances. You know, we invest a lot of time teaching our children to become self-reliant. I mean, we can't send them out into the world if they're not potty trained and don't know how to feed themselves. Growing up involves learning to be self-reliant. And yet, none of us ever outgrows the need to fully rely on our Heavenly Father. The prayer this past Monday in our devotional Bible that accompanies this reading convicted me, and I'll read part of it to you. Lord, I forget what it's like to have the humble, trusting heart of a child. I grew up and lost my innocent trust in you. I began to think that I can handle life on my own, that I don't need you. Sometimes I deceive myself into thinking that my piety can get me a higher status with you, that you might pick me to be your favorite. But you call me to humble myself before you like a trusting child. Make me like a child, Lord. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, don't worry about your life. I mean, who among you can, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? Worrying, he says, is for those who think they can handle life on their own apart from God. And then he says, don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask. We build the kind of community Jesus envisions when we turn from self-importance and embrace humility, when we turn from self-reliance and learn to trust in God's care for us. And then Jesus calls us, finally, to turn from self-indulgence and to embrace compassion. Verse 5, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. You know, I have such a great view from up here on Sunday mornings in worship. I get to look at all of your beautiful faces and see who's still awake at 11:30 at the second service. But I also have the best view of those magnificent stained glass windows. And sometimes I think of all the scenes in the Bible that might have been chosen. Why did the people that designed this sanctuary choose those scenes? Why the scene of the ascension of Jesus just after he commands his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples? And why the scene of Jesus welcoming the little children, much to the dismay of the adults and much to the delight of the parents and the children? Now, the scene of the risen Lord ascending reminds us every time we walk into the sanctuary of why we're here. It reminds us of why God put us here on Simpson Street in Mechanicsburg. Our mission is to make disciples of Jesus. And we remember as we look at that, his words about being with us always. The scene of Jesus welcoming the children reminds us of our calling to welcome them just as Jesus did, and loving our children and leading our children to Christ is our priority here at First Church. Looking at that window again, the one with the children, in view of today's scripture, I wonder, what if you and I would see ourselves not as Jesus, not as one of the adults, but as one of the children? What if we would see ourselves in humble trust of Jesus? See ourselves expressing love for Jesus just as a child, offering to him a bouquet of flowers. What if we relied on Jesus for everything and welcomed his embrace every day of our lives? As it says in number 6 in our notes this morning, following Jesus does not mean adding one more cause to an already long list. Following Jesus calls for us to start over, like a child, starting over. Perhaps today, as you've come to this place, the Spirit is moving in your life and calling you to start over with Jesus, like a little child, to let go of self-importance and humble yourself, to let go of self-reliance and trust in his care for everything, to let go of self-indulgence and focus on Jesus, whose love would transform every part of your life. On the same day that we read this passage in Matthew 18, our daily reading plan also asks that we read some verses from Matthew chapter 11. A wonderful invitation. And as we read that together, I'm going to ask that our worship team would come and prepare to lead us in our next song. Let's read this wonderful invitation from Jesus. Come to me, all you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. My yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. Turn your lives around, Jesus says. Become like little children. Come to Jesus. Come humbly like a child. Trust in Jesus, who desires to make all things new in us. Amen.